Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
Appreciate you being here this morning to be encouraged as we sing praises to the Lord and hear from His Word and just be the kind of church that God has called us to be in the way and in the manner that He's called us to be. And that's what we've been reflecting on these last few weeks. How is it that we as an individual church, how is it that we disciple or help others to learn, to grow, and to progress in their faith? And how do we go about sharing the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel message with people that need to hear it? We learned a few weeks ago that there's a bigger picture. There's a mission. There's a great calling that God puts on every church to carry the gospel to people that need to hear. But then there's a unique and a specific way that God calls and equips our church with the gifts and talents and abilities that we have. There's a unique way that God puts us together and calls us to use certain methods that we believe and trust that God will work and as He uses and gives us to do just that. And so last week we talked a little bit about some spiritual disciplines in the life of every born-again believer and how we can mark and measure our progress as a Christian. Well, today we're going to talk about how we can make disciples, how we can share the message of Jesus Christ, and how God has uniquely called us and given us some opportunities with our church and the way that we do ministry and how God has put us together to do just that, not only here, but there and everywhere. How can we make disciples? I hope that you'll find in your copy of God's Word, the book of Acts chapter 1, as we'll be there in just a moment in Acts chapter 1 to find out how God has called us to make disciples here, there, and everywhere. You know, there's questions perhaps or people that are not a part of a church or maybe sometimes even people that are part of a church will look at a church family and they will wonder, well, why is the church, why is a group of believers, why are they interested in gaining more members? Why are they sharing the gospel? Why are they sharing this message of what they believe? Why don't they just keep it to themselves? Why are they telling other people, and why are they trying to get people to come to their church? Well, I heard just the other day about a lady in New Jersey, who has been arrested and accused because she not only lied to her 9-year-old son, but to the 9-year-old son's father and to his school and to their friends and family that her 9-year-old son had stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma, when in fact he did not. Did you hear about this? The lady convinced her son, 9 years old, that he had it, and convinced the friends and family and other people that he had this stage 3 disease so that she could get money from the friends and the family and from benefits from the school and from others so that she could get money. And so she used that lie, that deception, to get some money from her friends. Her mother was interviewed to say that there was something wrong with her elevator, that it didn't go all the way to the top, but you still would have to wonder, well, is the amount of money, is it that significant? Well, I guess for her, $3,500 that she collected was enough to lie to everyone and even to convince her own 9-year-old son that he had this deadly disease. Now, you think about sometimes in the church. Some people look at the church that way. They say, you know, the church is only interested in your money. The only reason they want you to sit in their pews is so they can pass the collection plate and then get a little bit of your money. They just, you know, they want you to just be part of the club, and they want you to believe this lie that they're telling. And sometimes churches get this bad reputation of just telling this lie or telling this story just to get more people to give more money so we can build bigger buildings and all this kind of foolishness. I can't speak for any other church. I can't speak for any other pastor. But as for Florida Boulevard Baptist Church, the reason that we share the good news of Jesus Christ is because, first of all, it is the truth. And it is the gospel message that tells us that we are sinners in the eyes of a holy God. and that because of our sin must be judged. And in order for God to judge our sin deserves death, and we must pay that price. We must die on account of our own sins. But he sent his one and only Son, who committed no sin, who did not need to die for his own because he was perfect. But instead, he took the place of sinners on the cross to die in our place for our sin, to pay that price. And then the Bible says that the gospel message is that because Jesus Christ died for us, that we can place our faith and our trust in him as our supreme sacrifice, and our debt for our own sin is paid for in the blood that Jesus shed. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and the Bible tells us that the glorious message of the good news of Jesus Christ is because Jesus lives, we will have eternal life in heaven with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Because Jesus is alive, we too will be alive forever and ever. That's the message that we share as a church. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not tell that story to get more money. We do not tell that story to get more members. We do not tell that story to build bigger buildings. We tell that story because we want to see people who are trapped in sin be set free and alive in Jesus Christ. We tell that story because we want to take as many people to heaven with us when we go. We want people to be made alive in Jesus Christ. Why do we make disciples as a church? It is not about us. It is all about Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He made the way possible. We are called as his disciples to take that message to a lost and dying world. Look in Acts chapter 1. How do we go about doing that? The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, after Jesus died, and of course this story in the book of Acts picks up where the Gospel of Luke leaves off as Jesus is with the disciples. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" We make disciples because we have been made into a disciple of Jesus. We follow his direction. We follow his order. We follow his desire to see people set free from sin. And we have a story to tell because we as born-again believers have been set free, and we know what it means to have that hope. There's just two things I want you to notice quickly in this passage of Scripture as I share with you some specific ways that we can go about making disciples. First of all, you know, the Scripture tells us that we have a kingdom to advance. There is a kingdom that Jesus Christ is Lord over that we must be about advancing. Now, if you notice, the Bible says that the disciples asked this question in verse 6, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" You know what they really wanted to know? They wanted to know, "Lord, you're about to ascend into heaven. When are you coming back? You know, we've enjoyed being with you these 3.5 years, and we've been a part of some great ministry and seeing people just their lives changed and follow you, and it's just been wonderful. You know, it was terrible to see you die and to see you buried, but now you rose again, and you're leaving, and we get that, but when are you going to come back and restore the kingdom to Israel?" You know, they really wanted to know the answer to that question. And, you know, they're not alone. People today want to know, when is Jesus coming again? You go to any bookstore, you go, whether it's Christian or secular or whatever, and go to the section of prophecy or end times, and you'll see a whole slew of books that'll tell you date, time, signs, all kinds of things to look out for. And people are writing books because everybody wants to know, when is Jesus coming again? When is his kingdom going to come to its fruition here on this earth? People have been wondering that for the last 2,000 years. People are going to continue to wonder that. But you know what Jesus says to them? Well, you can read what he says to them. But in the Randy Revised Version, he says, it's none of your business. Don't worry about it. That's not for you to concern yourself with. Now, we want to know when Jesus is coming again, and we feel like we have a legitimate question that needs to be answered. But Jesus says to the disciples, in no uncertain terms, don't worry about it. You have other things to worry about. Don't ask that question because you won't get a satisfactory answer. Instead, do what you're supposed to do in the meantime. And what is the meantime? The meantime is now. Until Jesus comes again, we have a mission to carry out. Until Jesus comes again, we have been called individually, as individual Christian homes, and as a church, to take the good news of Jesus to people that are lost. We are not called to just sit here and wait. We are not called to just sit and be satisfied inside the church. We are called to take the message and share it with those that are lost. People that would never darken the doors of this church. People that live in your neighborhood. People that live on the other side of the world. Jesus said, you are to advance the kingdom and you're going to be my witnesses to all kinds of places. Now, you have a decision to make. This is a one-time decision. This is an all-the-time decision. You have a decision to make, and that is either you will advance your kingdom, or you will advance and be a part of advancing Christ's kingdom. You say, well, Pastor, how do I make that decision? Oh, it's very simple. We make it every day. As a matter of fact, every decision we make kind of hangs in the balance of whether or not we are all about advancing God's kingdom or advancing our own. You know, why do we live where we live? Why do we drive what we drive? Why do we do what we do? Why do we have the friends that we have? Why do we go about our daily lives? Do we do it for our entertainment? To be happy? To climb a ladder of success? To increase our bank account? To have some kind of security nest egg when we get older? To ensure that we accomplish all that we want to accomplish. I mean, what is it that drives you every single day? Whatever wakes you up, whatever keeps you up, and whatever's on your mind when you go to sleep, whatever fills your day, whatever your thought pattern is, whatever it is that gets you going, every decision is either going to be advancing your kingdom or God's kingdom. Either we're going to have a kingdom mindset where we ask God, God, in every decision I make, in every word that I say, every single place that I go, where I work, where I live, what I drive, my family, my friends, help me to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ so that I can share with them what you have done in me. That is a kingdom mindset. We're either going to be about advancing our own or advancing his. You know, if you're looking to make some money, sometimes hard work will pay off. Sometimes you have to be gone for 100 years. I just heard not too long ago that the Austria-Hungarian Emperor Franz Joseph had a little wad of his hair that's been passed down since 1916, is being auctioned off for $17,000. Now, I've seen pictures of this guy, and he didn't have a lot of hair. I think it should probably go for a whole lot more than that. Because, you know, the less of something that there is, you know, the price should be high. But $17,000 for a clump of his hair, who would pay that? But you think, he's been gone for 100 years. He's not getting any of that money. That's his hair. He grew it himself. And he gets nothing for it. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to live to be happy. I'm going to live to drive nice cars and take nice vacations and all that stuff. And I'm going to be about, and we don't say it like this, but I'm going to be about building my own kingdom. The problem is, at some point, we are gone, and so is our little kingdom. Everything we've worked for, somebody gets it when we're gone. Everything that we've bought at some point will rust away. Everything that we thought was important, even sometimes vacations. You know, they say the mind is the first to go. You won't even remember that you took them. What's the point? The point is, certainly God wants us to have a great life that's abundant life and fulfilled and have great friends and great families and all of those things, and he wires us to have certain jobs, and he puts us together so that we can flourish and function. But why? Not to build our own kingdom, but to advance his. So that every decision that we make in all things of our life is all about him. The second thing this passage tells us quickly is that not only do we have a kingdom to advance, we have a power to accept. Notice Jesus' answer again in verse 7. He said, "It's the Father who is fixed by his own authority. For you, it's not your time, it's not your business to know the times of the seasons." But then he says in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. Dynamite is literally that Greek word. You're going to receive that lightning bolt, fast-acting, all-encompassing power to be my witnesses. Now, how do you get from one place to the other? Well, a lot of us drive cars. All right, you go buy a car. How are you going to get from one place to another in a car? Well, you've got some options. You can push it. Some of us have done that. You push it. That's kind of a last resort. You could get a bunch of people to help you push it. You know, you can enlist them and, you know, get 40 or 50 of your dearest and closest friends to push your car wherever you go. And, you know, you can turn the wheel while they're back there. You know, that's one option. Most normal people, however, stop at a place called a gas station, and they put gas in it. And you do this wonderful thing. When you turn the ignition, that gas, in a very controlled, precise way, gets lit on fire, and the more you push that little gas pedal, I know some of you struggle with that, the more you push that little gas pedal, the faster your car or truck will go. It's an amazing thing. It's wonderful technology. That's how you get from one place to another. You've got to have the fuel. Now, last week we talked about 7 spiritual disciplines. You know, for the health of your Christian life and the health of our church and the health of your home, you know, you can think of those 7 spiritual disciplines like your dash lights, you know, the check engine lights and the transmission light or the, you know, the overheating lights. You know, those are kind of the check to see how healthy you are. But without the gas, you don't go. If you don't have the fuel, you can have the most wonderful, polished, beautiful car, but it's not going to move an inch unless you put gas in the thing. Friend, you can have, and we can have as a church, and you can have as a Christian, you can position yourself to look and appear to be a wonderful Christian. We can appear to be a wonderful church and have great programs, have great ministries, have all kinds of structure and all kinds of things. But if the Holy Spirit of God is not fueling what we do, we will go nowhere. We've got to be people of prayer. We have to be people so dependent on the Holy Spirit of God, even when we have a specific method that we believe with all of our heart will work, or we have a certain ministry that we're really sold on, or we have this particular program or this particular method that just seems like it's a wonderful thing without the Holy Spirit of God driving it. It's only going to go so far with us pushing it. It's got to be fueled by the presence and the power of God. Your life, your home, and this church. Help me. Help our leadership. Help people in our church that care to be people of prayer. Ask God every Sunday, every Wednesday, every ministry opportunity, every day, to fill us with His Holy Spirit that we might be led and guided and empowered by Him. Not for our kingdom, but for His. Not by our strength or our might or our ability, but through Him. Now, how can we do that? How can we be the kind of the kinds of missionaries or the kinds of witnesses that Jesus wants us to be to the ends of the earth? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to share with you a couple of ways that we can, as a church, and you as an individual, can learn how to be a witness for Jesus Christ, how to live like a missionary in every corner of the world. First of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about the world. We have, in years past, we have had different partnerships with different missionaries and on different places. And sometimes those relationships, for whatever reason, people get moved around, and you know, we still have some. But I want to ask our church to have at least one team to step foot on each of the six major continents each year, at least once. The six major continents, I want to put a team of FBBC people on that continent every year. Now, I realize it's going to take us a little time to develop partnerships and to develop some resources we can do that, and we're taking steps to do that. November the 4th through the 14th, I want to take a team to East Asia with me. And I want you to go with me. I want you to begin praying. We talked about going to Africa, and we're going to have a vision team going this July. But here's what every single person can do, even if you cannot, or just time or whatever will not allow you to get free to go on an international mission trip. Here's what you can do. We have a little missions kiosk. It's in the main hallway of our church, right in front of the Welcome Center. You see on the wall behind the Welcome Center, every member is a missionary. On the other wall, you'll see a missions kiosk that says above it, "Make Disciples." And has a picture of the world, and it has a cross with Louisiana stuck in the middle of it. In the center of that kiosk, there are six shelves, three on each side of that kiosk. They're all labeled the six major continents of the world. Inside of those little boxes on those shelves, you will find unreached people groups on that continent that you can begin to pray for. Maybe God puts Asia on your heart. Maybe God puts Africa on your heart. Maybe God puts Europe on your heart. Go by that missions kiosk, take one of those sheets of paper, and begin praying right now. I'm going to tell you one reason why we're doing that. Our RAs and GAs, they meet every Wednesday night. They pray, our RA boys, I know, specifically pray for an unreached people group every month. Whatever group they're praying for, we're going to add that to our prayer list. It's going to be in the kiosk. So our RA boys and GA girls and our whole church is going to begin praying for unreached people groups. You're going to see it, you're going to see it from time to time in the bulletin. Names of unreached people groups, you won't be able to pronounce them. That's not the point. Don't worry about it. You may never see these people this side of heaven. Don't worry about it. Pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches that unreached people group, either by your going as a church. Pray that God puts somebody there. Pray that the gospel will just explode in that area. That's a way that every person in our church can impact the world for Jesus Christ. You can also be a missionary and make disciples. You'll notice in your bulletin all of these are listed, so you can begin writing these little ways down. In North America, the second part of how we can make disciples. You know, Jesus gave them this kind of a map, this kind of a target to go to the ends of the earth, and all the way down into Jerusalem. Well, we need to consider how we, at FBBC, how can we make an impact in North America? Well, some of you had the opportunity to do that just this past month. Some we sent for 2 weeks. We sent some groups to Jackson, Mississippi on a family mission trip. And we're going to do that at least once a year. We may even offer more than one a year if we have multiple families that are free at multiple times. We have those opportunities. And the Jackson, Mississippi group, they went to a drug-infested area of downtown Jackson, Mississippi. And they built relationships, and they walked alongside people whose lives were broken and needed to know the Lord and needed some encouragement and needed to know that there was a gospel hope in the world. And they were there for those 2 weeks, sent two groups 1 week at a time, and we want to send you to places all over North America to make a difference for Jesus Christ, to get out of your comfort zone and to take the gospel to people that need to know the Lord Jesus. There's also in the state of Louisiana, the next focus, I think, on our target is Louisiana. A little closer to home, maybe some people that are a little different than us, maybe people that are a little more outside of your comfort zone, but you'll notice we have a local mission team in our church that is constantly looking for ways that we can do ministry and carry the gospel and minister to people in the greater Baton Rouge area, and even sometimes in our church, we'll offer some opportunities across the state of Louisiana that we can go to other cities and go to other regions of Louisiana and be a blessing to them. Here's how you can have a kingdom mindset. You ready for this? Look at your schedule and say, how can we plan some time to be available this year for a mission trip? How can we carve out time and set aside money instead of going on the biggest, fanciest, best 7-week-long vacation in the summer? How can we maybe just go on a family vacation 1 week and go on a mission trip another week? Yeah, that's how you can have a kingdom mindset. How can we be a part of touching and reaching people all over the world, and some even as close as Louisiana? There's one more way, or one more spot on the map, and that's your neighborhood. Where do you live? You don't have to tell me out loud. Think about where you live. Think about your neighborhood. Think about the community in which you live and represent. Maybe you have a small neighborhood. Maybe you live in a rural part of the greater Baton Rouge area. Maybe you live in a very congested area. But we have several opportunities for you, and I hope you're writing these down, and I hope you're taking this stuff to heart, because I hope I'm not just preaching to the choir here. This is something that everybody can do. This is something that all of us should do. First of all, June 9th through the 13th, we have Vacation Bible School coming up. We have and will have children on our campus of all ages. We'll have adults, we'll have students, we'll have all kinds of folks on our campus for that week at night. For those nights, the 9th through the 13th of June, and we'll have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ, point them to the cross. These children and some of these adults, even their parents, have no idea what the Bible says. They have no idea about the hope in Jesus Christ, and we get to, as a church, host this great evangelistic, wonderful community-building opportunity right here on our campus, and you can be a part of that. Some of you have already volunteered to help, and it's not too late. Some of you have even changed around your vacation schedules and your time off just so that you can be here. And thank God for you. You want to be a part of that ministry? Then as soon as we end today, as soon as we dismiss, you just walk out of the sanctuary to the right and go down the hallway. Just before you get to the fellowship hall, there'll be a little table right there where you can volunteer to be part of Vacation Bible School and touching the lives of children who've never, perhaps never heard the name of Jesus. Another way you can do that is a new opportunity that we have this year called Backyard Kids Club. It's in the month of July, and it's for a particular week, July the 7th through the 13th, but really can be customized around your schedule. You might say, well, Brother Randy, we already have something planned in that week in June, but July, I can do that. The 7th through the 13th, that week, we're going to have multiple homes hosting either 3-day or 5-day backyard little mini vacation Bible schools, using the same material, doing some little craft time, some snack time. Other families are going to come from our church to help host it at that particular host home. But we've got 7 already, and would love to have 7 more. And would love to have everybody in our church in different people's homes helping to make those things a wonderful success. It targets the children that have become known as spiritual orphans. You're going to hear more about that. But children that do not know Jesus Christ, children that do not grow up around and influence of the gospel, and you can help to do that. Well, you can even do a one-day thing if you don't have the opportunity to do it. But you know where you can sign up for that? Same table. Go out these doors, hang a right just before the fellowship hall. You'll see Brother Michael standing there, and he would love to tell you all kinds of information about being a part of a backyard kids club. I've asked our ushers to help me with this last way, and that is specifically in your neighborhood and hits really close to home. This is an opportunity called My Hope with Billy Graham. You've heard of Billy Graham. He shared the gospel with millions and millions and millions on different continents all over the world. He has a passion to help, equip, and challenge and encourage every believer in America to be praying and intentionally reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to show you this short video just to give you a little background of what that's all about. And our ushers are going to make some material available to you about this.
It's urgent. People in the Amazon are dying without Jesus.
We are coming together to pray to God for his vision to happen in our village.
I feel an enormous burden for my family, friends, and neighbors that they might receive Christ.
We have now an opportunity to take the gospel on television to people that have never heard the gospel. This is one-on-one evangelism done on a massive scale.
When the invitation was given to me to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I raised my hands.
Honestly, I've never seen anything like this. Evangelism in our homes.
I know that this is just the beginning of what God is going to do in my life.
I don't think there is anything greater than to take the gospel to those people who have never heard it.
Millions of Christians around the world are doing what's called My Hope for Billy Graham. Today you're going to receive, and we have enough for everyone, to receive this bit of information. And all of these churches all over the world that have been impacted by not only the ministry of Billy Graham, but more importantly have been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, are in the month of April receiving information just like what you have in your hands. And at the end of the year, toward November, we're going to do ours in October. We're going to have a Harvest Sunday. Now, if you look inside of this bit of information, I say that like none of you have already done that. But if you look inside of it, there's what's called a Matthew list. And there's 10 blanks on that list. And you can tear this off if you want. Put it in your Bible. Put it up in your home. Hang it in your car or do whatever you need to do to remember. 10 people that you want to pray specifically to not only build a relationship with them between now and the end of October, but you want to pray for their salvation. You want to ask God to give you opportunities and conversations over lunch, over coffee, just at work, at home, where whoever it may be, but begin praying right now. Now, you're going to receive lots more training and information about this over the next several months. This is not the only time you're going to hear about this. This is just the first time to get you excited and interested in seeing 10 of your family or friends come to know Jesus Christ. Some people you may put on this list, it may be a FedEx driver that comes to your house. You don't even know his name or her name. But you interact with them when they come and drop off packages, or your mail delivery person, whoever it may be. You put them down on this list and start praying right now today. You say, Pastor, why do we do stuff like Vacation Bible School? Why do we do Backyard Kids Club? And why are we doing that? It's not about us. It's not about a bigger and better building or more money or anything like that, or just to make ourselves feel useful. It is about seeing people's lives changed. It is about seeing lost souls who do not belong to the kingdom of God because they are outside of the family of God, living in sin, in selfishness. It's time to see them repent of their sin, come to know Jesus Christ, and be set free, just like those of us who have been born again. We've repented of our sin. We used to live in sin and selfishness, all about us. And when you're born again, you turn from that way of life and you turn to Jesus Christ. Do you remember those days? Do you remember that moment in time when you came to know Jesus personally? Do you remember the excitement, the passion, the enthusiasm that you had about knowing Jesus personally? I want you to get excited about 10 people on that list who will come to know that same excitement, come to know that same enthusiasm, and come to know that same Savior. Because you're praying for them, you're encouraging them, you're building a relationship with them, you want to see their lives forever changed. There may be somebody here today who your life needs to change. I'm not talking about just being a part of a church or just sitting in a pew or just taking it all in or just doing whatever the preacher says. I'm talking about having your life forever changed because you've been born again. You've had a moment in your life when you know that you gave control of your life up to Jesus Christ. If you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would spend eternal life, that you would spend eternity with the Lord Jesus in heaven? Some of you might say, I hope so. Oh, I sure hope so. I'm pretty sure I would. Faith in Jesus Christ is a no-so. It is an absolute bedrock assurance that if you were to die right now today, that you would spend eternity in heaven because not because of anything you've done, but because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You've turned from yourself and you've trusted in Him. Do you need to be born again? Perhaps there are people that are praying for you and praying for your salvation. And today you need to be born again. If you have come to know the Lord, the decision, the invitation right now is very simple. Maybe some of you are born again, but you're not a part of this local church, and you want to be and need to be connected to a church that is excited and interested in taking the gospel to people that are lost. We would love to have you be a part of that. Maybe you're already a member and you're serving. Maybe from time to time you live for yourself, want to build your own kingdom. And God's saying to you individually and in your home, and for the sake of God's kingdom, that you want to get your priorities straight and you want to live for the glory of God. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to respond. Would you stand with me as I pray for us and ask God to lead us in this time of invitation? If God puts a decision on your heart and you want to make that decision known and make it public, then you come while we sing here in just a moment. But let's bow our heads and let's pray. And let's ask God to lead us by His Holy Spirit to make a decision that glorifies Him. Father in heaven, the gospel message of Jesus Christ is not about what we've done, but it's all about what Jesus has done for us. Father, help us as believers in Christ not to rely on our own ability, our own talents, our own resources, but God, help us to rely on the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's a decision that needs to be made by any person here to be born again, to be a part of this church, or to just, as a born-again believer, to get their priorities straight so that they can live their lives to advance your kingdom, may you lead us and guide us at this time. Make that decision to glorify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740 or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.